Welcome to Golf Better at Edwin Watts Golf, episode 43. Hello, everyone. I'm Tom Brussell, and thank you so much for joining us. Sitting in as he does each episode, technical specialist Kenny Nicholson. Hey, Nick, what's up, man?
Hey, man, how's it going?
Well, pretty good with me. You had a couple well-deserved days of rest, didn't you? Spring break down this way.
Yeah, I did. I actually got to spend some time with my kids, and bad thing is the weather was terrible, so couldn't golf or anything, but at least we got some quality time.
Yeah, it's always great to have quality family time, but when you get back, I guess everything's just piled up the way it normally does when you get back.
Actually, it is piled up on me, but I'll catch up. But one day I did get a chance to go out there with my oldest daughter and enjoy about 12 holes of golf before the rain got on us. And to me, it's just fun being able to get out there. The weather's breaking. Everybody's having a good time. The course was full, and couldn't be more happy.
Well, last episode, episode number 42, was one where we answered questions in the Ask Kenny episode, and we had quite a number of questions that came in, and they come in one way, and that's through the Ask Kenny button.
That is correct. If you simply go to our website, evanwattsgolf.com, and click on the Golf Better logo on the left-hand side of the homepage, when you go to that landing page, you can listen to all of the episodes there. You can also click on the Ask Kenny button, and those questions actually come straight to me, and we filter through those and use some of them on the program. But I will answer each and every one of those. And I love hearing from the listener or the player, you know, just find out what's going on out there. What are they looking at? What are they thinking about? What's new technology that's coming out? And that's one of the most enjoyable parts of my job.
Well, and if you read the question on the air, which we did about six or seven of them last episode, you get that free Golf Better podcast cap. And this time you get the 2009 edition.
Yeah, yeah, we just got those in, and we're getting those out now. Absolutely love them. They're actually what I call a snug fit, or we're really large, extra large, medium, small, but just a good looking hat. Glad to have one on my head, that's for sure.
And we're shipping them worldwide. Two of our questions last episode, one came from Japan, the other came from Manchester, England.
Yeah, we're shipping them out. So send the questions in. We'll be glad to answer them, and some of those we'll use on the show.
Okay, down to business. Earlier in the week when you were gone, I got the opportunity to talk to Jamie Pipes, who is the director of product development and testing at UST. I guess the long name for it is United Sports Technologies. Now it's Mamiya. Everyone knows them as the maker of the V2 shaft, and you've hit that shaft quite a bit, and that's a very, very popular shaft.
Yeah, I actually play one of their shafts in my fairway woods and love them. You know, we talk constantly about products, technology, things like that, but the most important part of the golf club that we talk about is the shaft for the most part, because it's the engine that drives the machine. So, you know, having a nice car with a bad engine is not going to run well. So having a nice golf club with the wrong shaft is not going to perform as well. So shaft is one of those aspects or technologies that you have to be up to speed on that. You have to make sure that you have the right shaft in the golf club for you. And without a doubt, UST is one of the premier shaft makers in the business.
Well, let's take it back 48 hours in my conversation with Jamie. We have a very special guest joining us today from Dallas, Texas, the Director of Product Development for UST Mamiya Shafts, Jamie Pipes. Jamie, how are you, man?
I'm doing good, thanks.
Hey, thanks for checking in with us.
Bet.
Hey, I don't know if you noticed before we get into our topics today, if you noticed TV on Sunday, I think we're in golf season now, don't you?
Yeah, I think so, too.
Man,
that was great.
I was reading today and heard yesterday that the TV rating for the final round on Sunday was 4.9, which was the highest golf rating since the U.S. Open, and it just blew away the basketball North Carolina and Oklahoma that was next to it. So that's I think we're here.
Tiger's back.
Hey, before we get into some of the questions I was going to ask you, Jamie, UST Mamiya, you guys are kind of unique in that I think you've established in the past a brand within a brand. I think a lot of companies try to do that. Some kind of fall on it, meaning something like Big Bertha within Callaway or Whopper within Burger King. And for the past few years, it's been people have known you for the V2, right?
That's correct. Yeah. That's been one of our most popular shafts over the past few years. And we've tried to make recognizable shafts, very visible shafts that people will learn to, we can see and learn to get to know by the way they're painted.
Well, I mean, that's pretty much it. The consumer sees a lot of that. They see the tour players and their peers performing with that shaft, and that's kind of the way to go, right?
Right. Well, that's our plan, our modus of operations.
I think typically golfers recognize in the past UST UST shafts with the star logo. Tell us about the name change to UST Mamiya.
Well, what we're trying to do is just become a little more of an international company. We are a Japanese company, but mainly UST is operated here in the U.S. and our parent company Mamiya is operated in Japan and in Asia and overseas. What we're really trying to do is really utilize the engineering and the technology that both companies have and work together. And golf's becoming such a global game anyway, so we're trying to just, you know, really kind of integrate the companies, become a more international company, and use the technology and the engineering from both companies and make best use of it.
Jamie Pipes, Director of Product Development with UST Mamiya, joining us. Talk about some of the new products you guys have out, because like you said, the ham and eggs for the past few years has been the Pro Force and the Pro Force V2 and the V2 High Launch. Talk about what's out there now.
Well, we have designed a new Pro Force, okay, and it still has the Pro Force colors of gold and black. But it's a new product called Active Core, which makes use of a new technology that we have, which is the Active technology.
And that's I believe that's AX and then IV, correct?
Active.
Yes. Uh-huh.
Active, and it stands for, the IV is four, and the AX stands for axis. So it's a four-axis weave technology. And what that material does in the shaft is helps with stability and feel. We've created a totally different flex profile from the V2 to kind of complement and fitting people. The new Active Core, most of them have a counterbalance profile, which simply means we've made the butt end firmer and the tip end a little more flexible to help launch the ball higher and still keep the spin down. That's the nuts and bolts of it. The V2 model is still our medium, you know, lower launching, lower spinning shaft, and the Active Core models are a higher launch.
And have you found that there's just a core group that's just not going to leave that V2? They just love that shaft?
Oh, yeah. There's a lot of people that shaft still fits, and it's still going to be, you know, very good for. Like I said, it's, you know, it's more of a medium launch shaft. So, mm-hmm. And it's going to be, it's more what I call tip balanced, which is heavier in the tip, more about the tip technology and that design. But it's a very, very good all-around shaft. We're still trying to help with the new Active Core. We're trying to help the guys that need to launch it a little higher and still mm-hmm. want to keep spin down. We've created three kind of lines within the Active Core to help fit a wider range of golfers.
Yeah, I believe what I'm reading here is you've got the Active Core Blue, the Tour Black, and the Tour Red, right?
And the Red, yeah.
Yeah, and talk about the differences between those.
Well, in development. From the development side, it all started with the Tour Black. The Tour Black to launch higher and still spin, have a good low spin rate to match up with the fitting side of the V2. And in developing it, we took it out to tour, and the tour guys wanted to see it to launch just a little bit lower and, you know, and spin a little bit less. So we created the Tour Red. And those kind of complement each other unless, you know, where the Red has a much firmer tip section, and that kind of knocks the launch down a little bit and takes a little more of the spin off. And then along came the Active Core Blue. Some of the guys that I work with on a regular basis wanted something with a little more feel to it. So we created the Blue Series, which has a little higher torque, which launches a little higher, and actually will spin a little bit more for the golfer that needs a little more spin.
Jamie, with regard to the Active Core, the color models, I guess something like that, somebody really needs to be professionally fitted, correct?
Yes, that's correct. And what we really recommend for, you know, your guys that are really into equipment and want to get the best possible driver or woods is to be fit with the Active Core Tour Black and Tour Red. Those are a little lower torque, and, you know, the Red's firmer in the tip. So it really needs to be fit to you, to your game, and make sure it's the right shaft for you.
Jamie Pipes joining us from UST Mamiya, the Director of Product Development. You've got a lot of weight on your shoulders each and every year. Talk about how you go about tour player testing.
Well, part of our job here at UST is to to get it ready to go out on tour. Really, there's a lot that goes on before it ever really ever gets to the tour level. We do a lot of local testing we do in-house testing with the people we have here at UST, and we do a lot of local testing with where I'll take it out to golf courses and let anybody that really wants to hit it try and hit it from maybe say mini tour players or local club professionals or top amateurs, and really trying to get the product ready to go before it ever goes out to the PGA Tour. Because with guys out there, you know, things move pretty fast on the practice round days, but we have to work with the club company, really work with them when a player gets to testing, and the tour reps, our tour reps have to know what weight and what flex and how to tip it, and how to fine tune it to really give that player the best shot of finding something that'll help improve his driving, his launch condition.
Let's say you're taking it out to one of your players on tour. Like you said, their time is very precious, and your tour rep will be out with them, and you hand them the club with their specs and the new shaft. Before they hit it, do you normally tell them what to expect out of this? This might be a lower launch, higher launch, or something like that, or do you let them find out for themselves and just kind of see how it tastes to them?
Well, our tour rep and the club reps will work together. They have a pretty good idea of what the player really likes in a shaft, whether it's, you know, a little firmer tip, they need something a little more forgiving to help them work the ball. So they've got it pinpointed pretty good. So when that golfer goes to trying a new head or wanting to try a different type of shaft, they've got a pretty good background on that player, and you know, they know exactly what kind of weight range he wants to be in, which I think is very important for not only tour players but for everybody. You know, that not necessarily the lightest club on the market is the best shaft and club for everybody. But anyway, back to the tour player, they've got some background and they know pretty much what he's looking for and what he's trying to improve. And the club guys will know how the head will react, and they try to match the shaft up to it. So
yeah, I would think that, like you were saying, their time is very, very limited out there. These guys, they've got practice round day, they got pro-am day, and then they're playing for their life. So it's kind of challenging, so to say, to get something new in their hands, but they're always looking for an edge, right?
Right, and a few players will come to us and say, hey, you know, I have an idea in a shaft of what I want to try. Can we do an R&D project, which is, you know, a pure experiment, but there are some that are willing to. You know, Rod Pampling is one of our guys that's on our staff, and I mean, he's been very good from the development side. He's willing to experiment, you know, and try new types of designs and say, hey, you know, what if we try this? And we'll make shafts for him, but he'll test it for us. But it's really got to be something that improves their launch conditions and their driving before they'll put it in play.
Will they make changes in the middle of the year, Jamie, or is that, it just depends, right?
Some will, some won't, you know. It depends on, you know, a lot of times the club companies may come out with a new head in the middle of the year that they want the guys to try out and test. And like I said, if it's better than what they have in their bag, and they'll put it to the test. They'll hit balls with it on the range. They'll put it on the launch monitors. They'll take it out in practice rounds, and then they'll put it to the test when they're under the gun of competition. You know, and if it performs better than what they have in their bag, then yes, they'll put it in play.
Jamie Pipes from UST Shafts joining us, and we're talking about specifically about the new ProForce Active Core shafts. Now those are out now, correct?
Yes, they are on the market. They were introduced at the first of the year.
Well, back again to the tour players. Can you mention who plays the shafts on tour? Who represents ProForce?
We have several guys playing ProForce, both V2 and Active Core. Rod Pampling, Davis Love, Stuart Sink, or to name a few of the guys. Anthony Kim has been playing the new Active Core here recently. J.B. Holmes. Mm-hmm. And then some of the other guys, like a new guy named Webb Simpson. He's a young and upcoming player. He's been playing it for the last few weeks.
Well, that's quite a representation. Back now to our guys, the mid-range players, the local players, all the way down to the hackers. How can they get that that shaft in their hands and test it out?
Well, the best way is through the local stores, mm-hmm. at like the Edwin Watt stores. I'm assuming they can go into to you guys' store and try out a demo.
Absolutely.
So that's the best way. It's going to be in a few of the club companies as a stock option coming out here. I believe Nike is one of them. It's going to be offering the Active Core and then their straight fit head. That'd be a good way to try it out.
And let me ask you one or two last questions, Jamie. Going down to and this always comes up to me here, graphite shafts and irons.
Well, I think everyone from top player to, you know, your avid golfers that only get to play once a week or once a month, but everyone should have their clubs and their bag evaluated. That goes from driver, fairways and hybrids, irons, wedges, all the way to putter. When you look at irons, I believe you can be fit for iron shafts just the way you're fit for a driver shaft, based on your speed and what you're trying to achieve in your iron play. I believe a lot of the stronger, younger players really, really prefer a heavier iron shaft in their bag. Gives them a little better control. But that's not to say that a graphite iron or a lighter weight iron can fit, you know, guys that, like me, that need all the speed they can get.
Well, I think the older we get, some of the ego comes into play as well. I played college golf, but that was, you know, late 1970s, and it was S300 shafts, and I've been looking at that more and more, and it's just like, you know, I'm 51 years old now. I can't swing that one anymore, and I've got to have something, like I said, a little lighter, and it can help me out a little bit more.
Right, and in iron shafts, the material for graphite, and you've seen it in woods over the past, you know, 10 years or so, the material for graphite has gotten so much better. So, you know, the old adage that graphite's not as consistent as steel is kind of a myth. You know, we can make iron shafts just as consistent as steel. They are lighter. I think weight is the key factor you got to look at. You know, getting the weight right and getting the flex right, just like you would in a driver shaft or a wood shaft.
Now, final question, Jamie. What do you see down the road with regard to shafts? I mean, it's always going to be improving, and you guys have your competition and your own standards to go with. What do you see coming down the road?
Well, like I said, we're always looking at you know, new concepts, new materials. To help make the shaft, our big thing is to make the shaft stable and consistent. And what we strive to do is to make, you know, make the golfer as consistent as possible. And anything we can do in that arena helps us make a better golf shaft. And that's one reason why we've incorporated our new Active technology into the ProForce line. It does help make the shaft respond in a more consistent manner. That's kind of what we're looking at. Can't give you too much more details.
Awesome. Well, Jamie, thank you. If you would, you'd have to kill us, right? Jamie, thanks so much for taking time out with us today.
You bet.
Hey, Kenny, back to us. 1 week away, T-minus 1 week and counting till those practice round badges start hitting out there at Augusta, and this is when the golf season really cranks into gear.
Yeah, it is. I mean, I think everybody, you know, gets in that typical golf mood this time of year, but there's 1 week every year that you see more people concentrating on golf, whether it be the avid golfer, the once-a-month guy, or the guy that plays once or twice a year. I mean, it's Masters week. You know, the guys, some of them play the tournament prior to, some of them don't. A lot of them like to get there early and play practice rounds. One of the things I enjoy to do is just, you know, look at the things that are happening going into that week, who's playing well. You know, these office pools start to circulate, and there's something about Masters that no other sport has.
But Jamie and I talked about it on our lead-in last week. Bay Hill, unbelievable. Tiger Woods knocking it down, and like he said, it's almost like he never left.
Yeah, I mean, it's one of those things where you see it, you know, when Tiger's in that position and he has that, you know, 15, 20, 25-footer to either win or tie. It's one of those things where it just seems like the guy can get it done. You know, unlike others that, you know, it seems like they struggle or they get scared or what have you. The guy just flat sure can get it done. And, you know, after Saturday's round, I was talking with my neighbor and he was like, there's no way, man. The guy's five shots back. This thing's over. You know, all O'Hare has to do is shoot par. But because they're really, the conditions down there were playing difficult and it was going to be hard to shoot a, a mid 60 round. And what does the guy do? He goes out there and shoots a 67, makes a 20 footer on the 72nd hole to win the tournament. I mean, the guy is unbelievable.
Well, to tell you how much he means to the game, just across from him was the Elite Eight going on CBS. This tournament was on NBC. It drew a 4.9, which was the highest rated golf tournament since last year's U.S. Open when he won with the bad leg. That tells you how much he means to the game.
Yeah, and the guy, I mean, he's been out. Now that he's back, people are excited. And, whether you root for Tiger or not, he does bring a different aspect. He brings more listeners, more watchers, and more sponsorship to the game. I mean, it makes it more enjoyable for the guys out there playing as well.
Well, Kenny, that's a wrap for episode number 43.
Thanks, Tom. Enjoyed it, man.
I did, too. And again, listen back in 2 more weeks when we have another exciting episode of Golf Better at edwinwattsgolf.com. So long, everyone.